Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 18th of June, recording at 9:21 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights. And my goodness, there were some spectacular highlights. The most dramatic in Asia was a blast of a breakout from a big long trading range by the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. Now, also, the Hong Kong H share index actually led this breakout and has just extended its gains. It's had three strong days on the upside following its own breakout from a very large sideways trading range. Now, elsewhere in Asia, we had, all the markets were firm here today in Asia at any rate, and Thailand had one of the better gains, powerful upward dynamic in here today. Now, elsewhere in Europe, mixed action overall, little up, but then closed mostly a bit down on the day. And that's because Wall Street has been a little tired in here today as well, closing with very modest declines. None of this is surprising given the recent strength that we've seen, or given last week's strength. Now, elsewhere, government bonds. Here, a little bit of seesawing action, but I noticed that the U.S. contracts closed with very modest gains, reversing earlier losses. We had very modest declines in the bond futures in the European bond futures today. And the US dollar was weaker in here again today. That helped precious metals early on, and then they lost it with some disappointing action, for me at any rate, on silver, which is backing and filling. But silver got up to 1352 in the September contract, and then fell back to 1334 and closed 1336, 1336.6. So just down slightly on the day. Gold, though, is trading up a little bit in the after hours, up $1.20 on the day. And platinum had the best performance in here, closing up 13.5 on the day to 1299.5. That's the July price. I should really take the July contract off and roll that forward. Now, elsewhere, we've seen a mixed performance of the among the industrial metals. Nickel is the weakest, so that still hasn't emerged from that medium-term correction, that predictable medium-term correction, and it's fallen back on the three-month price to 40,400. In the soft commodities, they were mixed. Here, corn started off the day on the upside, and soybeans were down, and then they managed to reverse those moves, with corn closing down 3 cents while soybeans closed up 8 cents. So ranging here after some good gains in the last few weeks. Probably the best action in soft commodities occurred for sugar. That was the most depressed of the commodities and had a good rebound in here today. 58 cents in the U.S. That's a big percentage jump, and taking it up to 9.56. And the white sugar was up 960. So that's pretty much the action here on the day. What about the yen? That was so weak yet again here. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, stock market uptrends remain pretty well in form. A number of them, though, are of course somewhat overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages, best seen on the weekly charts. But the important story, the bottom line here, is just this overall strength and consistency. I would expect more incidents such as we saw earlier in the month when we had a sharp little reaction. It didn't last very long. Neither did the earlier one in the end of February and the beginning of March, and that one was infinitely larger in most instances. But we have to expect a degree of nervousness. But as long as the bond yields are trading sideways, bond prices also trading sideways, rather than the bond market weakening once again, with yields climbing, of course, as long as that doesn't happen anytime too soon, then I think stock markets can maintain their recently recovered nerve and range higher. As a matter of fact, quite a few indices around the globe, particularly among emerging markets, have hit new highs here in the last few days. And some of the action, as I mentioned at the very beginning, has been quite dramatic. I would expect the China shares, the A share, beg your pardon, the H shares out of Hong Kong, and the HSI to remain strong. I think I'd mentioned on Friday that I wouldn't be surprised if some of the other Chinese-related indices would do quite well. Of course, we had the sneak preview on that with the H shares, and also Taiwan. And Taiwan was closed today, but I'd be very surprised if that didn't rally quite sharply tomorrow, particularly if we get some follow-through occurring in the Chinese indices generally. Now, what about something like India, which has been very much a sleeper in here? Well, it's again got a fairly large trading range. It continues to underperform, having rallied back up towards those highs, with the Nifty just hitting a new high but not maintaining it, the Sensex not quite hitting a new high. It's continuing to range and really needs an improved performance coming from the banking sector. I believe the State Bank of India was stronger in here today, but if you want to see what I mean, you go into the library and you look, for instance, at the Korean banks. They're absolutely surging. Korea hit a new high in here again today. And where the banking sectors are doing particularly well in Singapore, the banking sector is doing quite well. Now, Japanese banks have steadied up, but they're not giving a blockbuster performance here, and neither are the Indian banks. So when we get that improvement, that additional improvement, then we will see these markets breaking out and running on the upside. So will India do that, and will Japan do that before this global uptrend for stock markets eventually waltzes into that inevitable cul-de-sac that I've described before? Probably is the answer. Very likely, because I don't see really why the global stock market rally should end at this point. When it does end, we know what's going to kill it off, and it isn't going to be the time factor. It will almost certainly be a further tightening of monetary policy, probably in response to growth that is generally better than people are forecasting here right now. Remember, the global economy is synchronized in a period of economic expansion. Remember all those people who were forecasting a U.S. recession for this year? Well, we don't see any sign of that yet. Yes, the slowdown was certainly predictable, but I'm glad I wasn't among those forecasting a recession, because a great many people were, and now they're saying that the U.S. economy is improving in here, and that the next move by Bernanke may well be to increase interest rates. Well, my view, you probably recall, and that is, I've said that Bernanke would hope to do as little as possible as far as interest rates are concerned, just keep them on hold, and only respond to something fairly dramatic. One fairly dramatic scenario that fortunately we haven't seen would have been a plunging stock market. I'm not talking about a reaction, I'm talking about something bigger than that. Then I have little doubt that Bernanke would have come in and cut rates. And if the US economy does strengthen in here and improves, well, the stronger it is, the more likely it is that Bernanke will increase interest rates. And that's what I think we have to look forward to at some stage. Look forward to may not be the way you'd like to hear it described, but at some point, we will see a further round of interest rate hikes, and we will see quite possibly some draining of liquidity out of the system. And when that actually takes place, that is what will eventually tip these stock markets into a significantly larger correction and quite possibly a bear market. But I do not feel that that is imminent. And if growth disappoints a little bit, in other words, if the US is not quite so strong as some people are now beginning to say, having earlier forecast recession, if it's not quite so strong, and if the European growth slows a little bit due to VAT or whatever, that's value-added tax, so that we have slower, mildly slower growth than generally forecast, that would extend this cycle overall. Meanwhile, my best guess is that with a little luck, we will, well, I think we'll get through the rest of this year without a bear market, and we have a good shot at getting through 2008 without a bear market. But more importantly, far more importantly, is we know what to look for. Another round of interest rates going up, another round of bond yields surging will certainly create problems for global stock markets whenever that occurs. Meanwhile, to coin a phrase, make hay while the sun shines. Equity markets are still in form. I'm not really interested in the bond markets. They are unlikely to see more than a minor technical rally on short covering. I don't expect global bond markets to do really well until stock markets next get in trouble. But I would expect long-dated government bond yields to be higher then than they are today. In terms of currencies, I think there are all sorts of reasons why the dollar should drift a little lower, although interest rates are not among them, because the realization that US interest rates are not going to go down anytime soon certainly helped to trigger that short covering rally in the US dollar. But there are good fundamental reasons, as you're well aware, as to why the dollar should not be charging ahead here. But with a 5% interest rate, you know, that's not going to, or is it 5.25? I can't recall. But with a prime rate at that level, we can't expect the yen, I beg your pardon, the dollar to be as weak as the yen has been recently. So my view overall is that we have two major currencies that are weak and are likely to weaken again, and they are the dollar and the yen, and the yen is a little bit weaker more often than not than the US dollar. That certainly shows up on the charts overall. It's Asian currencies that I think will appreciate the most over the next decade. But they're being managed, so it's a slow drip type of event. What else to mention in here? On the agricultural commodities, well, again, these have been pretty firm in here recently, although it's not across the boards. I noticed that lumber fell fairly sharply today. That's one of the ones that had seen a quite sharp recovery recently. But the grain and bean complex looks well supported on the charts overall, and the whole complex is still very susceptible to any bearish news. Well, it would be bullish for the prices of the commodities. Any news of crop deterioration can really ignite rallies, and it doesn't take that much. I think the sugar rebound today was triggered on some sort of report that India wasn't going to export quite as much as people had previously forecast. So again, and this is a sector where a lot of people are recommending participation. I've written a piece on this today. I would be participating for the most part. If you're not an experienced trader, I wouldn't go near the futures. I would be participating through the commodity shares, and I would use the term commodity very, very loosely to embrace almost anything that's involved in supplying the global infrastructure development industry. So that's everything from heavy equipment manufacturers to fertilizer producers, chemical companies, anything that's related to this resources field. The resources field is going to remain a major, major investment theme for a very, very long time, and it'll probably survive on the other side of the next bear market overall. Okay, so I think that's pretty much it. Again, an interesting day with the big drama coming out of Asia, led by Hong Kong and the H-share index. So roll on tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.